W252DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. military continues to track a Chinese spy balloon that currently is moving across the U.S. Officials say it's not a threat, but it is adding to tensions between China and the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has postponed his visit to China that was set for next week. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more.
We've heard from the White House that it was the strong recommendation from the president's team, from the Secretary of Defense, from the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to not shoot it down out of concern of what that fallout could look like. But I think the president's going to continue to get a lot of questions about what they are doing, as they say that all options are still on the table. They're going to have to come up with some kind of solution.
The January jobs report showing a robust labor market despite inflation. There were more than 500,000 jobs added last month, with hospitality and retail sectors seeing the biggest gains. President Biden touting the strong numbers, saying it's due to his administration's broad economic policies. Bitter cold moving into the Northeast. Record wind chills of 50 below zero are possible. This is ABC News. A man in Orange County, California, appearing in court today after an apparent road rage incident. He's accused of hitting a bicyclist, then stabbing him to death.
At this point, investigators say the driver, 39-year-old Van Roy Smith, has no known connection to bicyclist Michael Mamone, a prominent ER doctor at a hospital. Dr. Mamone was out on a ride when surveillance video shows Smith's white car slam into him. Investigators say Smith then got out and stabbed the already injured Dr. Mamone to death. Sergeant Michael Woodruff.
No known relationship between the two. And no known motive.
After the crash and stabbing, Smith was arrested on suspicion of murder. Investigators say it could have been some form of road rage. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A man arrested for trespassing at Windsor Castle several months ago pleaded guilty under Britain's Treason Act. He was armed with a crossbow and told police he had come to kill the Queen. He was caught in a private part of the castle's grounds. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Lawyers for the Green Bay woman accused of killing a man after a day of drugs and sex about a year ago are asking for another delay in the case. Taylor Shabiznes' lawyers say they need more time to review the evidence. Shabiznes is set to go on trial March 6th. Wisconsin voting machines pass an audit with flying colors. After the last election, Wisconsin Elections Commission staff tested 10% of all voting equipment used across the state and found a 0% error rate.
The result of this audit should give the public concerns that Wisconsin's voting machines performed as expected.
Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. The bipartisan commission accepted the results unanimously yesterday. In sports, the Bucks trimmed the Clippers last night, 106-105. The Badgers beat Ohio State. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
The devil's advocates.
But do you think the Biden administration's calling up Laura Ingraham and making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops? Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius.
Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much, I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It makes me smile when you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, 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 party people. It is a... I want to say lovely Friday afternoon because it looks lovely, but if you stepped outside, you might be thinking otherwise because it is cold on this February 3rd. I'm here today with my guy, Evan. Ev, what's up? How you doing today?
This and that, my friend. This and that. You know, chilling like a villain, as they say.
Yeah, when Father Luke is out of town, that means Ev and I are here to party, and we have a wonderful, wonderful show for you today. I got an exciting guest coming on at 2:30 for the third segment of the show. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to be talking about the environment, in particular the WCC and the YCC that's coming up. If you're curious as to what those stand for, you're going to have to wait and find out. But leading off today, Ev, I want to talk about a little story from Urban Milwaukee. Northwestern Mutual, all right, they're going to create another glassy tower, a second tower to solidify its Milwaukee presence, redefining the city's skyline with a $500 million investment. The company plans to overhaul its 19-story north office building to give it a glassy facade similar to its signature 32-story tower and a modern interior to match, while also intending to close a one-block stretch of North Cass Street to vehicle traffic, and over about 5 years-ish, relocate its nearly 2,000 Franklin employees to downtown. This is a massive financial investment in the city, and, I mean, Milwaukee's growing, and it's growing fast. You love to see it. Now, there's been a lot of jokes over the past couple months about Milwaukee, particularly on Twitter, I should place in context, that Milwaukee's going to be a million-person city in the very near future. And boy, can you imagine, Ev, if Milwaukee became, you know, a kind of second Midwestern epicenter? It's never going to grow as big as Chicago, right? Chicago's location right on the lake at the heart of the Great Lakes region, and its rich, long history of being one of the five largest cities in the country, I think, makes that still the king of the Midwest. But Milwaukee's so much nicer than Chicago, right? I can't be the only one who thinks that. We don't have that big city feel, but we do still have the big city amenities. We have plenty of fun. We have plenty of culture. We have sports teams that actually win, right? Let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks for a moment. Phenomenal, phenomenal performance again from Giannis last night, dropping a 54 spot. But we're not here to talk about the Bucks. We're here to talk about politics. And in Wisconsin, that is a 24/7 gig 365 because election season never ends. Now, Luke touched on it yesterday, and we've touched on it extensively throughout the past couple months, but the upcoming Supreme Court race, slated to break records for financial spending, which would not be the first time. The governor's race recently broke spending records as well. And what are we seeing in... I'll use social media again as the judge, because that's where a lot of regular people have their voices heard in a way that they don't necessarily have access to on the air or on television. And what a bad week for Judge Jennifer Doro. I mean, story.
Yeah, it's a little bit rough.
Jeez, I want to sit here and say I feel bad that all of these came to light in such a short time frame, but I don't, because the voters of Wisconsin deserve to hear these stories. They deserve to be touched on. And you see it with Joe Biden in particular, that, you know, what's the biggest caveat to his presidency in a lot of right-wing media circles? It's Hunter, right? Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden. And then Judge Doro's son, allegedly, as Luke and Todd discussed yesterday, allegedly sold the laced pill that led to the death of a UWM student.
Like, capital A allegedly, right? But just the context behind... Oh, man. Because this goes pretty deep, you know? There's these alleged communications between her and her son that have been sort of uncovered. It's been shown that, you know, she's done a lot of these prosecutions.
The Vice article touches on that, and if you didn't catch yesterday's show, Luke and Todd touched on it as well, that a large part of Doro's judiciary opinion is that drug dealers and drug users need to be punished accordingly. If you were the one who sold a drug that led to someone's death, you need to be held responsible. But it doesn't seem applicable now when it just so happens to be her son in that same situation. And as the Vice article noted, witnesses, which were friends of the deceased, had stated that they saw the deceased meet up with Judge Doro's son outside of the rave. There was an exchange took place. They don't know what was exchanged, but an exchange of some kind took place. And then obviously later that night, he was found deceased. And I don't really understand why this hasn't received more coverage, because you are going to be on the highest court in the state for the next 10 years. Judge Janet Protasiewicz has had her name rung through the rafters for speaking on the legitimacy of the rigged maps, which, again, as Todd mentioned yesterday, clearly rigged. Nobody in their right mind or having a good faith argument would disagree that these maps were drawn specifically to better the odds of getting more Republicans elected. So that, I guess, is where you draw the line if you're a conservative activist, but you don't draw the line at extreme hypocrisy, rules for thee, not for me type judicial influence that we're seeing from Judge Doro. I don't understand it personally. But to loop back into another case that was decided, I believe it was February 1st, actually, the civil rights case against Kyle Rittenhouse. A federal judge ruled that the Kyle Rittenhouse and the city and county of, or excuse me, a civil rights lawsuit against Kyle Rittenhouse and the city of, and county of Kenosha will be allowed to move forward. Reading from an article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Drew Danson, Anthony Huber, who was one of the three men shot and killed by Rittenhouse during the August 2020 protests, his family has filed a suit in August of 2021 in federal court seeking to, quote, hold the municipalities and law enforcement officers involved in the police response to the protests liable for his death. Now, Rittenhouse and the city and county of Kenosha sought to dismiss the case, arguing that it, quote, failed to properly allege federal civil rights claims, but both motions, to dismiss were denied. And this case will now be moving forward to discovery. A jury trial could be scheduled in the very near future. What do you think about this, Ev? We have seen online that the vast majority of Rittenhouse defenders, their only defense is, it's not murder, he was found innocent.
Well, first of all, and he kind of was, right?
That's accurate, 100%.
You know? So that's one. People get hung up on this, right? That there's a lot of injustice there. That something wasn't done right. And as the pragmatist that I am, I don't agree. I guess he was found innocent. That's not to say that there aren't civil liabilities that he holds. You know, two people are now dead. It's kind of a big deal.
And that can't be debated, right? You can play the linguistics card all you want, whether it was murder or homicide or whatever. Two people are dead because of this. That cannot be debated. And a third was significantly injured. These people were shot. That happened. Whether or not it was murder, that is for the judicial system to decide. That's part of... You know, the three branches of government in the United States, our democracy is kind of predicated on that idea of a jury of your peers will determine whether or not you are guilty. And he was found not guilty. So by legal definition, it was not murder. But as you said, that does not mean he will not be facing civil punishment.
Chasing him for years and years and years and years. Like, this won't just go away. He hasn't been acquitted, you know, he has this is going to follow him for a long time. The details of the case were complicated. I feel like they were drowned out in a lot of the social mores of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, that two people are dead, that as a minor with a deadly weapon in a place that he didn't necessarily need to be, all these things weren't taken into account as evidence, you know, not surprisingly. And now, yeah, this is something he's going to have to deal with.
And he frequently complains about that, how he's being canceled, you know. All these events, nobody wants to host me. He's gone on famous conservative media cycles. He met Donald Trump. This kid became a hero of the Republican Party for putting himself into a poor, dangerous situation, seeking out violence, and then crying victim when...
Yeah.
The repercussions came knocking at his door. I also want to point out that Scott Bauer of the AP noted that while Rittenhouse argued the case against him should be dismissed because he wasn't properly served with a lawsuit, the judge dismissed that because Rittenhouse is, quote, almost certainly evading service, as attorneys and private investigators for the Huber family spent over 100 hours trying to locate Rittenhouse, tracking down addresses in 7 different states before they found the home of his mother and sister in Florida. The judge said, quote, Rittenhouse has been deliberately cagey about his whereabouts.
Yeah, the pragmatist in me, I can't say I'm surprised. People are pretty upset with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, Wisconsin, unfortunately, making the news for a lot of reasons that is not ideal. We're a great state. I'd like to see some more positive coverage, but we'll get to some more positive coverage right
this
after the break.
This stuff is important, though. Yeah, we might be moving on to some nicer things.
We got a little talk, Ev, coming up about a few $100 million being put towards projects to improve roads at the local level and tackle national traffic fatalities, of which Milwaukee will be receiving some funds. So, stick with us. We'll be covering that right after the break. This is Dueling Tangents on a sunny, at least. I can't say lovely for the second time.
Oh, my goodness gracious, man. It's so cold. Oh, stay safe out there, folks.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be right back after the break. Talk to you guys soon.
As the nose.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I am coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left. It's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there on the airways, because a lot of times where you just get a little sound bite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 6 above. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 2 above. Tonight, overcast skies. Highs level off around 30 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun. Temperatures above average Sunday and Monday with highs from the low 30s to the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 3 above.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Hey, 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 party people, welcome back. Friday, February 3rd, this is Dueling Tangents, and the boys are, in fact, back in town, as we got William and Evan on the mic today. Now, we talked about it a little bit before the break, so let's get to some good news. The U.S. Department of Transportation announced on Wednesday that the Biden-Harris administration has approved $800 million for more than 500 products to improve roads at the local level and tackle national traffic fatalities. Pete Buttigieg was the one to announce the $800 million grant. And the Safe Streets and Roads for All grant program will be a record amount of funding to improve roads and address traffic fatalities. The competitive grant program, which was established by Biden's historic infrastructure law, will provide $5 billion over the next 5 years for regional, local, and tribal initiatives, from redesigned roads to better sidewalks and crosswalks, in an effort to prevent death and serious injury on the nation's roadways. The department has also launched a data visualization tool that will show crash hotspots, helping target needed resources. The awards will be used to fund improved safety planning for over half of the nation's total population and plans to fundamentally change how roadway safety is addressed in communities through local and regional efforts that are comprehensive and data-driven. Mayor Cavalier Johnson announcing yesterday on Twitter that the Biden administration has delivered on our request for millions of dollars to improve pedestrian, bicyclist, and roadway safety. Buttigieg himself called Mayor Johnson to share the good news. Wonderful, wonderful news for the city of Milwaukee. As, I mean, it's, I don't spend as much time down in Milwaukee as I would like to, admittedly. You know, living in the suburbs, that's my home, that's where I grew up, that's where I work. But I absolutely adore the city of Milwaukee because it still has the kind of small city feel that you don't get from some of the major national metropolises, but we are able to compete with them in amenities, in activities, in stuff to do, in culture.
But what about allegations that it's a blighted city, William? What do you say to this?
Well, to that, I get to my next point. Ev, you'll like this. Adam Jarkaw, tweeting yesterday following Mayor Cavalier Johnson's announcement, quote, sweet. Now when you ride a bike in Milwaukee, you'll have paved trails to ride while you can get shot at by gangbangers who would face no consequences for their crimes.
Good Lord.
Yay, Joe. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, we talked on this show before about the bull, pulling out the bullhorn, right? Saying the quiet part out loud.
Loaded terminology.
That's grotesque, frankly, and tells me that A, he has never spent time in the city of Milwaukee and should not have been running for any office in the state. And B, it tells me that conservatives genuinely cannot accept a win if it doesn't go to some member of their party, right? How can you argue against...
Well, otherwise it's not a win.
It's not a win, right. It's some kind of like deep state cabal effort to make people walking down the street more safe and make bicyclists unafraid of being hit by cars. I don't know. I don't know what the mindset is, but I can't get over how aggressive the rhetoric is that they are quite literally saying, I don't care about the economic engine of the state. We shouldn't give them anything back. We shouldn't protect them. We shouldn't take care of them in any way, shape, or form because I'm scared to go there because of what I saw on Fox News. I would laugh if it wasn't
scared,
so sad.
Though? I mean, man.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
You'd be surprised. I mean, I don't want to quote the Nextdoor app because that's essentially Facebook for boomers, but yeah. Some of the posts that I have seen on my local Nextdoor app, particularly during the summer of 2020 when many of us, myself included, were down in the city protesting the murder of George Floyd, and the way these people in suburbia spoke about their fellow American citizens, you would think we live in a war zone. It's absolutely stunning, and I don't know what the fix is.
It's not even to say that crime hasn't been an issue in society for millennia, okay? Because we need police, law and order. We need a civilized society. I'm right there with you guys, you know? I want it, too.
I think most crime derives from forced competition of resources that...
No, exactly right.
If they were allocated in a more equal manner, we would not nearly have some of the issues that we see with crime.
The disease of despair.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Poverty is cyclical, and we've seen that. So something else I want to touch on, because we got an excellent guest coming on in the third segment, and I do not want to take any time away from him, is yesterday the House of Representatives had a resolution to denounce the horrors of socialism. You heard that right, Ev.
The horrors of socialism.
Yep. There is much like what we have been discussing on the show for the past few weeks in regards to the state legislature in Wisconsin trying to include ballot questions that are already the law just to drum up interest in from their base. It appears the House is doing the very same thing with what is nothing more than tossing a bone to their constituents for campaign ads, right? We're denouncing the horrors of socialism. This is bad. We shouldn't do that anymore. Ironic, because millennials and Gen Z have shown time and time again that this is not the kind of boogeyman scare word that they hear socialism and they immediately shut down, because these are young people are much more well in tuned with the system as it is. They are open to learning. They want to gather as much information as they can, and they know that socialism has just been used to scare people.
I'm not a millennial. I'm a cusper.
Well, you should see some of the people who voted yes to this, Ev. The Democrats wonder why they're struggling with young people. Hakeem Jeffries said yes. Ro Khanna, who was the co-chair of Bernie Sanders' 2020 campaign, the Democratic Socialist, said yes. And you look at the list of nays, you know, all Democrats. Mm-hmm. But 109 Democrats said yes, 86 nay, 14 present.
And a lot of people are not attunely aware of this stuff. They mm-hmm. just sort of, they see the big D next to the name, and that's as far as they dig. I mean, this really hurts the trust.
Well, and I can't help but be furious with the Democrats who would have the audacity to say yes to this. It's such a slap in the face to young people who have been saving your party election cycle after election cycle. So we'll be right back after the break. We're going to talk about the environment, a very fun topic. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101. Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. military continues to track a Chinese spy balloon that currently is moving across the U.S. Officials say it's not a threat, but it is adding to tensions between China and the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has postponed his visit to China that was set for next week. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more.
We've heard from the White House that it was the strong recommendation from the president's team, from the Secretary of Defense, from the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to not shoot it down out of concern of what that fallout could look like. But I think the president's going to continue to get a lot of questions about what they are doing, as they say that all options are still on the table. They're going to have to come up with some kind of solution.
The January jobs report showing a robust labor market despite inflation. There were more than 500,000 jobs added last month, with hospitality and retail sectors seeing the biggest gains. President Biden touting the strong numbers, saying it's due to his administration's broad economic policies. Bitter cold moving into the Northeast. Record wind chills of 50 below zero are possible. This is ABC News.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station. Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee may host a Republican presidential primary debate as well as the Republican National Convention in 2024. RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel announcing they're considering holding a debate in the city. She didn't offer details, but said an announcement will happen in the coming weeks. Several homeowners in Vilas County are stuck in the middle of a decades-long easement dispute between a title company and Lac des Flambeaux tribal officials. In the 60s, private homes were built in the middle of tribal lands, with the roads leading to those properties also on tribal land. The agreement to use the roads expired 10 years ago. Tribal leaders say the title companies haven't negotiated in good faith. Homeowners received notice 2 weeks ago they'd no longer be allowed to use the roads. After serving as interim CEO since December, Kohl's Corporation officially naming Tom Kingsbury as the new CEO. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, with Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Committee, and very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very respected both by me and by those who are in the know, environmental activist Sam Loudy. Sam, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome, and I just like to give a real quick shout out. William called me up late last night, and I was like kind of tired. But after that call, I wound up watching the second half of the Milwaukee Bucks game, and like I was so glad that he gave me the energy to do that. So just a quick shout out there. And also like a quick shout out to just the entire like radio progressive network that I've seen lately. You guys have been kicking butt and like expanding wildly into this kind of uncharted territory. And I just saw you guys got Charlie Behrens is going to have his own show. So like, I'm just really impressed with everything that's going on here. And I'm really happy to be here to talk on radio.
I mean, you touch on it exactly, Sam. We got to counter the narrative. The conservatives have such absolute control of particularly AM radio. Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin, just, we're a very progressive state. We have a lot of forward-thinking individuals that deserve to have access to information that is more in line with their worldview, that's not going to tell them what to think and who to vote for and all that. So, Sam, one of your specialties, at least in my opinion, and something that I always defer to you about when I have questions, is the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. We will Yes. be touching on both the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and the Wisconsin Youth Conservation Congress. As I mentioned earlier, that would be the WCC and YCC acronyms. But first, Sam, you are one of the most well-versed individuals that I know on the science behind what are more popular, let's say popular environmental concerns, such as PFAS and water quality, hunting regulations in the state. Yes. Can you give our listeners a little bit of a broad introduction to some of these issues that they might be vaguely familiar with but might not know the details of?
Yeah, for sure. So there's a couple issues I want to touch on specifically because they're relevant in the WCC. The first one, which is kind of the most relevant right now, is wolf hunts and then wolf hounding and dog hounding issues that have been going on. There's been massive fights throughout Wisconsin for a while now regarding the hounding of dogs, hunting bear and wolves, and then also the number of wolves that we want to have in the state. Lots of people want it to be zero. This doesn't generally reflect the scientific consensus going on, where we're well aware that our carrying capacity in the state is much, much higher than, you know, whatever has been proposed.
Zero is incredibly unhealthy, right? You need an apex predator to keep the ecosystem in check.
Yes, exactly. Yep. The apex predator is kind of the most clear representation of how healthy your whole ecosystem is, because so many health impacts start at the bottom and then they get channeled up to the top. And the wolf, being an apex predator, is going to be a kind of a direct representation of the entire environment. And if we have healthy wolf populations, that's going to indicate that we have healthy environments across the state of Wisconsin. So that's kind of why this issue is at the cusp of a lot of environmental action groups going on. And unfortunately is, you know, being really effectively pushed back. I know we had, you know, almost a wiped out wolf population in the past. They've recovered lately, but there is a ton of pressure to bring this down back to zero. And the DNR is kind of in the crosshairs right now. So that's kind of the main wolf issue. There's a ton of other issues going on in this state. Another big one is PFAS with water quality. This one I'm a bit more optimistic about, specifically because I heard Tony Evers had $100 million request to effectively fight PFAS in the state.
Can you give a brief explanation, Sam, on what PFAS is for those who might not be familiar?
Yes, PFAS is a chemical, really a group of chemicals found throughout the environment. It's from man-made sources. A common one is like fire hydrant.
It's the foam that firefighters use to extinguish a fire.
Yes, yeah. That's one of the main sources. There's a lot of other sources that it came from. And there have been a lot of cities in Wisconsin, like Wausau and Madison specifically, that have been tested, and they found, you know, unacceptable levels of contamination of PFAS in people's drinking water. Mm-hmm. And PFAS is, you know, proven to cause a myriad of different health effects, involving cancer, lung disease, and unfortunately, like reproductive issues as well. So it's scary because, you know, you can't see it, you don't know it's there, but it's impacting tons of different people.
Many of these long-lasting chemicals break down very, very slowly over hundreds of years. So once these are in your system, they're in your system.
Yep. Yeah, so it's very, very difficult to break down. You have to put, unfortunately, a lot of money into trying to break down this chemical. I believe they've tested people on whether we have, you know, normal people like listening right now might have PFAS in their body right now. And it seems like the vast majority of people do. Thankfully, for most people, it's a low enough concentration where you don't have to be extremely worried. But for some people in Wisconsin who are specifically near these sites where there was high contamination, their drinking water is greatly exceeding the recommended drinking water standards set by the EPA. Mm-hmm. And I know those requirements have been changing. They've been getting lower and lower on what's acceptable, which just kind of shows you that the more we learn about PFAS, the more we see how dangerous it is.
We recognize the dangers, yeah. I mean, this is the lead poisoning of our generation, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. PFAS, there's a couple others like microplastics. I know that's another big one. Hopefully this will be the last generation that, you know, deals with these large-scale environmental pollutants if we can effectively regulate things, and that's always going to be the battle. Mm-hmm. I'd say, moving on, the third broad issue that I really enjoy, this is probably the issue that I'm most interested in, is sustainable agriculture. Agriculture is, you know, it's kind of in our like state character, you know, it's on our license plate of the farm we're proud of having agriculture as like a part of our state pillar. It's
beer,
you know,
cheese, it's brats, and farms. That's Wisconsin, right?
Yes. And one of the things that I've learned about Wisconsin's history is that we also have an incredible amount of conservation champions from the state, from UW-Madison, you know, like giants like Tom Muir, La Follette. So the thing that kind of interests me is how can we use that historical precedent that Wisconsin has set as being, you know, this progressive state, being on the cutting edge of sustainability, and how can we wield that in or meld that into our agricultural culture as well and get on the cutting edge of sustainable agriculture methods? And that's something I've been trying to kind of work through. How do we have effective communication on that? Because I think I said this before, agriculture impacts so many different levels of our environment, air, water, soil. The entire biosphere really is impacted by this industry in a way that almost no other industry in the world can touch, maybe other than fossil fuels. I'd say agriculture is right up there for every environmental issue, including water quality like PFAS, and then even up to wolves as well.
I was going to say, it's all intertwined
like a web. And if you can improve how you plant crops, you have more, say, have more forested acreage instead of just pure crop acreage, like highly subsidized corn, you can cut that out, devote more land to conservation, and that will improve everything, including wolves, including water quality, including our ability to deal with all the future environmental pollutants that I'm sure future generations are going to face. That's what really excites me.
Akin to lead, you know, how people like you and I look back and say, why did you not do anything about this when you had the opportunity? That will be our children and our grandchildren when they look back at microplastics and PFAS. But at that rate, you know, it might be too late. We don't know. I mean, as you mentioned, these forever chemicals have seeped into the soil. They're seeping into the water.
Yes.
It's nearly impossible to avoid them. Microplastics, we use plastic for absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's cheap and it can be made in abundance. And unfortunately, the almighty dollar still rules. So, Sam, as someone who knows this issue like the back of their hand, what would be the first step you would advise someone who is interested in getting involved or somebody who's passionate about this? What are potential solutions that an individual can make going forward? Obviously, we know that massive multinational corporations will still be significantly more impactful than you or I could ever be. But we do have the numbers, and we do have a lot of people who recognize, like, hey, this is a problem, and if we don't do something about this today, not only will I suffer, but my kids, my grandkids, they might not have the kind of planet left for them that I want them to live in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say apart from, you know, becoming a scientist and doing research on this, it's a very small fraction of people who I think have the skills to do that. You can get involved politically in Wisconsin specifically. The WCC, as we mentioned before, is an excellent way to get involved. it's a citizen's body really designed to give individuals direct input on legislation and having an influence on things like the Department of Natural Resources, the NRB board, which is the board of the DNR. So you as an individual can get activated. I know an OWR, the and committee that I get to chair.
And we are lucky to have you.
Year.
I will say that. We are very lucky to have you.
Thank you. For the past year, that has been our main focus, is focusing on the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. I got to help write a brief legislative piece there. We had other members write legislative pieces. And then you actually, as a citizen, get to vote on them in the springtime, and that will be coming up. I believe the writing legislative deadline is actually in about 3 weeks, and there's going to be from February 15th to February 30th, there is an approval that you can write up a piece of legislation online, submit it, and then you'll have an ability to have citizens from across the state of Wisconsin vote for you on that legislation. And overwhelmingly, it passes. So if you have a concern about the environment, you put in the effort, you learn about the research behind it, you can get these things to pass in here with citizens. Now, however, and I think we'll get into this later, the delegate process here is another part that is, in my mind, been extremely frustrating.
It's a nightmare,
unfortunately.
Frankly.
Yes, it is a nightmare, but there's still a ton of hope. I think over the past couple of years, a ton of people in Wisconsin have kind of woken up to this process in the WCC. And we've done a really good job at writing legislation and kind of working through that. But now the next step is actually getting people elected into these delegate positions, which they control the next, kind of the next hurdle that that legislation has to go through. And then if it can get past those delegates, then it can get directly into the people who have, you know, extreme positions of power in the state.
And just to confirm, so delegates are elected by citizens, correct? So that's something that any regular person who's passionate about these issues, if they wanted to get involved, they could step up and say, I want to do this.
Yes, exactly. You, if you're listening to this, you can get involved in this right now. There are going to be delegate elections in early April. I don't think they have a set date yet, but they're going to be happening at the county level, and that is extremely important because you have five delegates per county, and unfortunately, you think about, you know, Milwaukee, Dane, Waukesha County, that's 1.9 million people in those three counties. And you think about the small counties in Wisconsin, like Pepin County, Menominee County,
Extremely
Iron County.
Extremely oversized influence for these small
counties.
Yeah,
that's 15,000 people who have the same delegate power as 1.9 million people. So it's sort of like gerrymandering in these delegate elections.
It's exactly like gerrymandering. You think this might be by design or anything, Sam? It's weirdly coincidental that it works out that way, right?
Yeah, it just might be. And of course, the people who are in these delegate elections are going to have a very bent perspective on a ton of environmental issues in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you can imagine which way that shifts.
All right. Well, we'll be right back after the break. We got Sam Loudy filling in the fourth segment. We got to talk WCC and YCC. You're not going to want to miss it. Be right back after the break.
Missed your favorite.
Guys, this Valentine's Day, give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all. Available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sexy, sultry, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. Even more alluring than lingerie, the texture and touch of these pajamas is so seductive that you'll both love the feel of them. Leave nothing to the imagination with naturally nude pajamas. Go to pajamagram.com right now and save 25%. Pajamagram will even wrap the whole gift up for free. That's right, 25% off naturally nude pajamas and free gift packaging. Listen, if you missed out on this offer during Christmas, don't make the same mistake twice. But you need to order today, because last year they sold out before Valentine's Day. Here's what you do. Go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com. Use code NUDE, N-U-D-E, and save 25% off your order of naturally nude pajamas. Order now.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 2 above tonight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs around 30 tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 24 tomorrow night, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected Sunday with a high of 33. 40 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 3 above.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
In America.
People, it is Friday, February 3rd, and this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and occasionally William and Evan. I have my friend and one of the most talented environmental activists in the state, Sam Lowdy, here with me today, the chair of the Environmental Committee at Our Wisconsin Revolution. We're talking WCC, Wisconsin Conservation Congress, and the YCC, the Youth Conservation Congress. And just to give a little context for those who might have been coming in blind today, according to the DNR website, the Wisconsin Conservation Congress mission is, quote, "The Wisconsin Conservation Congress is the only statutory body in the state where citizens elect delegates to advise the Natural Resources Board and the Department of Natural Resources on how to responsibly manage Wisconsin's natural resources for present and future generations. The Congress accomplishes this through open, impartial, broad-ranged actions." The Youth Conservation Congress is a new initiative by the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and was established at the request of the Natural Resources Board, the NRB, as Sam mentioned earlier. This group functions under the umbrella of the WCC, and its purpose is to give young people under the age of 18 a voice and instill a sense of ownership, civic pride, and advocacy in these future stewards of our state's natural resources. The goal of the program is to effectively engage, educate, and involve youth in the management and protection of our natural resources and foster a conservation ethic through participation in the Wisconsin Youth Conservation Congress. Now, Sam, I make a lot of jokes around here about how I'm like the token young guy, right? But I do have a couple years on you. Give me a little bit of your background. What got you involved in this? Why are you so passionate about these issues?
I got involved basically at the end of high school. I got really involved in learning about climate change. I had a really good high school chemistry teacher who let me do a presentation on climate change. And then I just kind of have been running with that ever since, even to the point where I just got a degree in environmental science last year at Green Bay. So I've been really passionate about it, learned a whole lot throughout my degree, learned about not only how many problems there are with the environment, and of course, a lot of people know about that, but how achievable these solutions are, which has really excited me, really has kept me going, and seeing how much you can do even as an individual, even in a state like this with so many things working against you. If you fight through that, you can make a difference that changes the world. It changes the lives of future generations. And once you can kind of internalize that, it's a lot easier to stay motivated through what can be sometimes mentally difficult, hurdles that you have to go through and overcoming a lot of the kind of existential terrors of the environment. So there's hope there. And that's basically my story, a story of hope and determination.
And I think this is something you and I have talked about in the past. Young people tend to be kind of apathetic in regards to politics as a whole, but the environment in particular, because like you said, they don't feel like they can do anything. They can't fight these, you know, the U.S. military in terms of pollution is infinitesimally higher than any single individual, any town, any community can do. But we do have these, you know, the Youth Conservation Congress, the WCC, for example. If you are interested in being a delegate, could you walk me through the steps here about how somebody, particularly a young person like yourself, who might be involved, who might be engaged, who might want to turn their passion into action and their action into change, how would they go about doing that? What's step one?
Step one is going online to the WCC website through the DNR. You can just type in DNR and then type in WCC, and it should show up there, and you can learn about exactly what it is. I know you just went over kind of their brief mission statement. Then also the YCC, the Youth Conservation Congress, is for high school and younger people to get involved in sort of the pseudo WCC process. As a young person, you also have delegate elections going on there. So if you know someone, you have young kids, or you're a young listener, absolutely get involved there. That is also on the WCC website.
Would look and great most on a of those college election, application.
Yeah, good for a college application for sure. So yeah, if you want to beef up your resume, do that. It's a great way to get involved. And I believe those elections are also extremely easy to do. As most of those positions don't actually get filled at the county level, there's a great chance that if you try to do it, you will get elected. It probably won't even be difficult at all. So if you have any environmental passion, I would suggest doing that as a young person. If you're over the age of 18, also do the same thing. Go to this website, learn about it. They'll be posting the dates of those elections soon. I know that they are intentionally not doing that because they are terrified of young people getting involved. They recognize that we have power. So if we keep that pressure up, we keep trying, we will eventually break through. And then you just as an individual can make such a big impact if you do get elected. I'd also say if you do go through all this and you are, you know, trying to do this, you have, if you can find like a couple of friends and family to support you, please do so. You're going to need votes. You don't need that many, but you're going to need votes from your county. So that's also a really important aspect. And you also are supposed to give a brief like introduction speech about why you should get elected during the selection process. And if you can just stick to the science there, stick to why you care, and really just nail them down with facts. I know I got to do this at other speeches. It's super fun. It's super fun seeing their reactions about you. And it's a great process for so many different ways. I know people who are depressed about the environment. A lot of young people are, unfortunately. And arguably the best way to work through that is to get active. And arguably the best way in Wisconsin to get active is to become a member of the WCC.
Mm-hmm. And this delegate process is, I see a number of parallels to the delegate process I went through when I was a Bernie Sanders national delegate to the 2020 convention, where it's a good old boys club, right? The metaphor that everybody that gets elected is friends. They vote for each other and their other friends. Now, I had the benefit of COVID, so it was all done online. We weren't going to these same convention centers where everybody knows each other, the same handful of wealthy retired